rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Legs.
Hi, Lizzie.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. This is our fifth episode.
Yeah, I was thinking I think we can stop counting because we're not going to remember.
I know.
Going to be recording and they are what they are.
And we might make some up someday. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
So we're here in front of Spurbeck Nursery. We've got some background noise. Going to use our little technology to get rid of some of it, but probably not all of it. We're next to a big industrial plant of some kind. Sunsweet is a factory nearby, but that's Sunsweet. And we're going to walk around Spurbeck and look for a few things for the garden, and we'll put that on YouTube. We usually have a YouTube of our entire podcast, but today we're just going to have it of the nursery part. So if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, we hope you will, Legs and Lizzie, and we'll put it in the show notes. And how's your morning been?
It's been really busy, but in a slow way.
Nice one.
And we're on a road trip. We're on the fly here. We didn't expect this to happen. And look at us. We're recording on the road.
Yeah, we're in our mobile studio of our car. And so we'll see how it turns out. So we were just going to start with an update on the Legs and Lizzie farm garden. And we brought over a greenhouse that was my daughter's. It's just a little inexpensive greenhouse. I'd say maybe like 5 feet by 2 feet and maybe about 5 feet tall. It's small, but we're going to put our seedlings in that and also a few of them in the house. And so we brought that over to get that started. And the things that recently, we talked about the seeds the other day. I just ordered the book that I couldn't remember. I'll put this down here since our mics are on us. I got some little cells for the seeds, these little biodegradable containers and some labelers. And the book that I was trying to think of is called The Living Soil Handbook. And what I printed out, which because I'm of a generation that still prints things, the copy is a little too small for me to say the author, but when Legs is talking, I will look it up and then we'll let you know, but we'll put it in the show notes. But this is a book that I mentioned the other day. This woman, if you want to look it up, sweetie, that'd be great. She was farming outside of Grass Valley, I think, and she and her husband, and it's basically minimal amendments, no-till, and lots of different fruits and vegetables. And so she tells you on a lot of different things how to do it. So I like having a resource. I like reading, you know, about things and just having a place to go. But people are probably very comfortable finding things on YouTube and the internet. So there's all kinds of ways. That's not it.
Okay.
You know why? I'm sorry. That is not the name of the book. That's the book they're trying to sell you because people frequently bought that book.
Oh, got it.
The one I mentioned, The Living Soil Handbook. So I'm sure that book is wonderful. And we are going to tell you what it is. I believe it's called The Ecological Farm. So I'm not doing well on that. So it'll be in the show notes. For the second time, I'm not able to name the book, but I'm excited about the book. It'll be in the show notes. And maybe when you're talking, I can figure it out. I can look up what I ordered. I also got some metal stakes that are really nice. They're reusable, and you can, that's it, yes. So it's the book is called The Ecological Farm, A Minimalist No-Till, No-Spray, Selective Weeding, Grow Your Own Fertilizer System for Organic Agriculture. And the author is Helen Atto, so it's A-T-T-H-O-W-E. And she was interviewed by John Kemp on the Regenerative Agriculture podcast, and that was a wonderful episode. I recommend it. We'll put that in the show notes too. And yeah, it's a great book. And as I mentioned before, I gave it away to someone who bought 20 acres outside of Humboldt. And so I'm buying it again, and got some garden markers. I got some wood sticks for our seeds, and as I said, some taller metal garden stakes that we can use when we get everything planted. I also bought a mycorrhizal amendment that can go on the soil and on the seeds themselves. And yeah, I'm excited about getting the seeds started in the coming days. And I think that's all I wanted to say about that. Do you have any questions about that?
No, I'm looking forward to
getting your hands dirty.
Getting my hands dirty. I wouldn't wear gloves, so I'm going to get my hands dirty.
Well, it's healthy to have your hands in the dirt, and that, you know, they say that our gut and like gut health and soil health are very similar, and all of that good bacteria is making both things healthy. So that's what we'll be working towards.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Okay. That's that. And so Aaron's going to be the life segment of today is going to be about slow journalism, and I don't know anything about that, so I'm excited to hear about it.
We've talked about the slow life, and maybe some of you have heard about something that's sort of caught on. It's called slow journalism. And what it's about is it's more slow journalism is, well, basically I should say what fast journalism is, it's about just information as quickly as you can get it out. And that's pretty much what you see on the news every day. And what slow journalism is about is meaning. And how I got interested in this is that there's a gentleman that started in 2013 that is it, and he works for National Geographic, and he's also on their board. And he has this whole series called Out of Eden Walk, where basically he's retracing and trekking 24,000 miles of the footsteps of what the early humans, how they migrated. And he's going the exact route they used to migrate. And initially when he started in 2013, it was something very small, and now it's become something much bigger. And we'll talk about that in another episode. What this episode, what I'm discussing today, is a gentleman who's a teacher at the University of Richmond in Virginia. His name is Don Belt. And his class, Slow Journalism, is based on this Out of Eden Walk that this gentleman is doing. And the first thing he tells his students when you get in the class is, go take a walk. Because what he wants you to do is walk around, get to know your neighborhood, get to know the places that you're reporting, and make observations. Notate what you see on the blocks, the people. And basically take time to see what the world around you is doing and seeing and believing in and wanting to know more about. You know, it's about using your ears, your eyes, your senses to explore the news environment.
Wow.
And so, I don't know, it just seems really meaningful to me to be able to... Well, first, be given the time to be able to do this and not have self-imposed deadlines, whether it's yourself or an editor or a newspaper, even though you're working for a news organization that's going to allow you to do this. And of course it took a National Geographic to be willing to send somebody out there since 2013, and he's still ongoing. So he's on the current trek he's on, started in 2021, and it's not finished. That takes a lot of dedication and willingness to provide the resources to do this. And I think since we want to live a slow life, maybe we need to look at how we get our news and where it's coming from and the sources. And so that's why it interests me so much.
And that's wonderful. I will say, you know, when we started this, we didn't sit down and say these things are off topic. We just said, okay, we're going to record, and I guess if something comes out that's off topic, we just won't put the podcast out. Is that still what we're thinking?
Yep. And we don't edit.
Yeah,
we're not editing.
We're not editing out the podcast we release. We can't promise that we would never have something we don't put out, but I just wanted to ask that before. One of the things in our relationship was that you used to send me things that I had to say, I don't want that. And I think it's really, really cool that you found this topic, because we want to share things with people. And I think finding the sources that are trustworthy and maybe are deeper than sources that are just trying to, you know, as what most media is right now, is just trying to build a controversy that will get eyeballs. And that's Teo's in the back scratching. That's awesome. I really love that. And so the person on the Eden journey is the journalist himself, or
right,
someone's following him? He's the journalist.
He's a journalist, and cool. What happens is, and we'll go into more detail in another episode, but what's happened now is people know about him.
Uh-huh.
And so he ends up getting followed on the treks by the local people, the neighborhoods and the areas and the countries, because it's vast amounts. You know, I think the one I saw recently, he was trekking through China or some area. So all these villagers are following him, and what they do is they invite him into their homes, and then he learns about the culture, and he has the time to be able to do this. So this thing has been going on for, you know, what, 10 years. And so it just seems that, or over 10 years. So it just seems like at some point he's going to write a book. But now it's a series, you can watch it, and now it's spurned this, you know, it's produced this course that people are taking. And I don't have all the notes here, but what I did read was one of the students went and used and did a dissertation for a Fulbright scholarship based on this slow journalism. And I guess they were a student at the University of Colorado, but did a dissertation on this and ended up getting into a Fulbright scholarship.
Wow.
To be able to do this. So that is changing the attitude of the possible future journalists out there of how they're going to practice journalism. And then maybe we'll have choices on where we get our journalism and news in the future.
It's kind of like what researchers do. They have to make a commitment, some of them a lifetime commitment to a certain type of research. And it seems like that's similar, like you'd be committing to this one thing. I'm sure you could always like wrap it up, but that's nice. That's what we need for the planet to continue on, is having this slower view of everything. That's beautiful.
Exactly.
Nice.
So, you know, like I said, we'll discuss this more and the slow life more, and give more details. But we just wanted to get started with some information about it and some thoughts. Now on the love segment, Lizzie's going to talk about something that we have incorporated in our relationship almost from day one. And, you know, I'm not going to spoil, I'll let her explain it, but it's something that has become very important to me over the time that we've been together. And it's helping me become a better partner in life. And it's helping me with, you know, how I, you know, walk through life in a relationship with somebody I love very much. So...
thanks. So we mentioned it in the last episode. It's called the Full Moon Ritual. And we thought we would just take... there are 17 questions. We were interested in maybe whether we want to rewrite any of these as we go. And we thought we'd just read them and see if we would like to do that, or they're fine as they are. And we'll put the list in the show notes as well. And we've used it every full moon since we've met. So the first question is there anything you need from me that you've given up on getting or you're finding hard to get? And I love this question. You think of it more in terms of a longer term relationship. So when we read that right after we met, it's like, we just met. So how would we know that? But you could see where, you know, if you're in a long-term relationship and something is just something you've given up, this is an opportunity to ask, so is there anything you need from me that you've given up on getting or you're finding hard to get?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
Not at this point.
Yeah, I don't, I can't think of anything either, and... I think that's written pretty well. How do you feel about that?
I think yes. And we have used that in the past.
Yeah.
And so I think that is a good one to start out with. It definitely gets the discussion going.
Yeah, and we're going to keep this podcast PG, but I think it would be PG just to say, I've heard it, the woman that... where I learned about this full moon ritual, and I saw she just posted on her Facebook that someone let her know that they use it regularly as well and how much it's helped them. Her name's Wendy Newman. Her website is wendyspeaks.com. And she says that it's very common that when one partner is trying to get affection, it could be any type of affection, but including... having sex, that after a while someone will give up. If you get rejected enough, and that could be for anything, you're reaching out, say, oh, let's go do this, let's go do that, and if someone continues to get turned down, it's easy just to stop trying. So that would be something where if you're the one that is feeling like giving up, or you've already given up on that thing, this question will let you...
Or
it
time.
Might come out.
Time would be another one, yeah. Right? One person is not giving enough time to the relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know...
You give up asking to do things because the person always says they're too busy.
Exactly.
Yep. And then number two is, what did you make up about me or us this month? I really like this question because, you know, our mind is often not our friend. We need to, like, live from our heart. And this has been something in our relationship where we were long distance for quite some time. So we would go back to our respective homes, and I would sometimes feel like everything was hunky-dory, and sometimes you didn't, or vice versa. And we sometimes can come up with some things in our mind, and it's good just to... when you realize it, you can say, hey, I was thinking this, I realized I had made that up. Or if you're still wondering about it, this question gives you an opportunity to ask anything about that.
Yes, because questions like that, what I found over time is that when I am thinking about something, If I know that the full moon ritual is there, it makes me think about, now, is this something I want to bring up in full moon ritual? Is this something worthwhile? Is this something really real? Am I making this up in my head? Is Lizzie, have I twisted this up, again, like being long distance, where if I brought this up to Lizzie on this question, really how valid it is and what is my role in twisting this around or making it, you know, like Lizzie said, her, your mind isn't always your best friend. You can sit there and ruminate and twist things around. So what I found the full moon ritual does for me now is keeps me honest and keeps my thoughts honest and gets me back and makes me stop, because you don't react initially and you don't react the next day. You react when the full moon is coming up, so it gives you time to think about it and figure out what's important.
Yes, and Wendy would also say that in her relationship, it would cause them, sometimes they would handle some of this before the full moon as well, because they knew it was coming up. And I wasn't going to do one more, but I will, because it's related to number two. What I think you made up about me or us is blank. So that is similar to the one above, where you can, you know, if you're perceiving that someone has something wrong about a situation, you can lovingly talk it over, and that kind of goes with the other one, don't you think?
Exactly. The two are cool. Two related.
Great. Well, I love this. We love this. And it's evolved over time from being, you know, different times. Maybe we had some more stuff going on. It was like, seemed like a lot. And just being able to pare it down into the framework of the full moon ritual helped us move some things along in a loving way. And it's been really helpful for us. And we'll share more about, you know, from the other questions going forward.
And how it...
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you. And how it also has changed over time. When we get to the end, we'll discuss how it started one way and now it's evolved to another way. And so tune in and you'll see, as we answer these questions and talk about them, what has come up for us after now we're together. And it's worked because we're living together now. And so that's a testament of how wonderful this process is.
Great. Well, does that feel complete?
It feels complete.
Well, we don't have our cheat sheet, so we'll just say punk farm.
Love life.
Do stuff.
Plant stuff. You know, I'm old. My memory's gone.
Don't buy stuff.
Oh, don't buy stuff.
But we're at the nursery, yeah, that, so right, why don't I'm looking you plant all these, stuff?
I'm looking at the animals everywhere.
Plant stuff. Yeah, I think stuff. That might be our new yeah, ending.
Plant stuff.
Do stuff. Plant
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah,
don't buy stuff.
Don't buy stuff. Or at least buy seeds to go plant stuff.
That's right.
Yes.
We are going to look at some soil, and I was thinking we can look at some herb plants. Sometimes it's nice to get your herb garden started, and we might do some container gardening too. So check out our YouTube channel, where we're going to show us at the nursery, and let's go do it.
Let's go do it.
Okay.
Great episode.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Only down life's lane, searching for the wild of all the pain.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, We just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain. He knows he'll never be the same. His old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. On and on they go. Oh, strangers cry, lonelier than pissed out wine. There's no wonder why he's bound to drift alone. To the heavens, his only friend alone. On the wildest train he's riding, so damn few of all. There's Jimson weed and tumbleweeds. Join the party, join the crowd. Let the hyena circling laugh out loud. There ain't no way. Lord knows he had his day. Oh, strangers cry. This old world, she goes round and round. Damn little good within it, he has found. She's a sad, sad song. The joke goes on and on. From the dust, dust he returns. Happen, let them fires burn, just drift away, 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 away. Oh, strangers cry, it's lonelier than the pissed out wine. There's no wonder why. Drift along.